Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everyone. God bless you. This is Bishop Horace C. Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church, and it is our great privilege and pleasure to be with you on this night, Tuesday, October 12th, in the year 2021, as we come before the presence of God to study his word, to share with you what he has placed within our spirits, to edify and to build you up in your most holy faith. We are grateful to God for all of his blessings. And certainly we know that if it had not been for the Lord, we would not be here right now. It is his goodness, it is his mercy that has watched over us and is even yet now sustaining us. And so we give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We thank God for the Holy Spirit and for the blessings that belong to us through Jesus Christ. Before we go any further, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with us in a moment of prayer before we begin our lesson. We are excited about our lesson tonight, and we are very, very grateful to God to have the privilege of sharing his word with you. And so before we go any further, we are reminded in scripture that in all of our ways, we ought to acknowledge the Lord that he might direct our path. Would you bow your heads with us at this time as we go before the throne of grace? Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow our hearts in humble submission and adoration to you who are the King of King, you who are the Lord of Lords, you who reign supreme. Hey, God, we bless your name this night. We ask that you would come into our presence, fill this place with your anointing. We know that it is a virtual environment, but Lord, let it be a powerful environment. As we look to you, speak to our hearts, illuminate us by the Holy Spirit, and allow someone tonight to even ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Lord, somebody needs to hear your voice. And we ask that you will speak through us. Use us as your instrument. Use us as your mouthpiece. Use us as an oracle. But most of all, Lord God, just use us. Get the glory out of everything tonight. And we won't forget to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And even now, we thank you in advance, committing ourselves into thine hand, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you on tonight. We're going to jump right into our lesson and begin to share our screen with you. Praise the name of God. I'm so excited about our lesson tonight. Praise the Lord. Let me just get this up and get this share screen going. Praise the Lord. I just need you to let me know if you can see it. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. All right. So let me know if you're able to see it. Praise the Lord. Let me know if you're able to see it. And make sure that you have your chat set. For those of you that are in Zoom, please make sure that you have your chat set to everyone, so that we can see who is going to be working with me tonight as our volunteer readers. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think I've got, I'm seeing some yes from Junior Deacon Austin. Anybody else able to see this? Amen. I want to get you to engage. Is it just Deacon Austin that's able to see it? Okay. Amen. Dr. Marbury is saying that she's able to see it too. Okay, very good. Okay, so tonight our lesson is on the believer's two natures. This is a continuation, if you will, springboarding from our teaching with regards to the fruit of the Spirit and how that it is important for us to cultivate the character of Christ. For the last few weeks, we have been dealing extensively with the fruit of the Spirit as a continuation, as it were, from teaching concerning the apostles' doctrine. It is important for us to understand that while the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the biblical evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance is the initial evidence of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the initial biblical evidence. The secondary evidence of the indwelling presence of God, of the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is the manifestation of fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And so it is only a natural progression to move along the lines of the teaching of the apostles, the doctrine of the apostles as they received it from Jesus, to deal with what it means to really have that character, the nature of God in us, that character of Christ manifest through the fruit of the Spirit. And then to understand, even on another deeper level, beyond the fruit, that there is a battle that goes on in the life of the believer. It is not a battle that is futile as long as we put our trust and confidence in the Holy Spirit and not in the flesh. But it's important for you to understand this dynamic as you continue to grow and mature in the things of God. And so tonight, with our clear focus on being more like Jesus and having more of Jesus in a practical sense, you know, cutting down on the drama, cutting down on the selfishness, getting rid of complaining, getting rid of bitterness, and getting rid of gossip. You know, on the screen you see the word less, but we want to say no drama, no selfishness, no complaining, no bitterness, no gossip, no pride, no anger, and certainly no more I but Christ. And so the idea is to promote spiritual growth. It's not about emotions. It's not about dreams and visions. It's about putting the word of God in your spirit and allow the word of God to transform you. The Bible says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, and that renewing of our mind comes through the word of God. And so let us go into our lesson at this time in the name of Jesus Christ. So it's clear, as we shared with you in terms of the topic, the believer's two natures, I want you to understand that there's a natural man and then there's a spiritual man, and that we need to make a clear distinction between these two, because one is the nature that comes from Adam, which is our natural birth, and the other is a nature that comes from Jesus, or is the Holy Spirit that comes to us through the new birth. And so on this particular slide that you have before you, on the left hand, you'll see the nature that is derived from our natural birth, from our first birth, if you will, and the birth from under the auspices, if you will, of Adam, the first Adam, as is talked about to us in Scripture. We've got verses here, and I'm going to ask someone to just, we're going to actually dig into it shortly. So for now, I'm going to let you just soak this image in. On the left hand, again, we've got the natural man, and the natural man deals with the issues of the flesh, the desires of the mind, being led by our own instincts and will, contrary to the will of God, not in alignment with the will of God, not even thinking about the will of God. And then on the right side is the spiritual man, that spiritual man that is part that is imparted to us through the regeneration. The word regeneration speaks about the born again experience. So in the first birth is a generation, and in the new birth is a regeneration. And with the new first birth, there's not only a generation, but there's a degeneration, because we were born in sin. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, that was what you consider a generation. He made them. He made them man. He made them women. He did not make a man and a man. He didn't make a woman and a woman. He made a man and a woman in the garden and brought them together. And Adam received Eve as his wife, and the two became one flesh. And so that paradigm of monogamous marriage, not homosexual marriage and union, is initiated in the garden experience. And it's important that you understand that as a sidebar note. God did not create a man with a woman's tendency or a woman with a man's tendency. There was a distinction between Adam and Eve, clear distinction. God made the distinction. It's only man in sinful state that draws, that blurs the line between the two and allows for this concept of homosexuality, which is actually the spirit of sodomites from Sodom and Gomorrah, as we are aware from the book of Genesis, that the spirit of the sodomites is even in the land today. And anytime you talk about marriage based upon God's design, there are those that are quick to judge, to say that the church are hate mongers and are perpetuating a spirit of hatred and division. No, it's just underscoring and promoting the things that God promotes. We don't endorse anything that the world endorses if it goes contrary to what God has established. And so what we see in the middle of this picture is the profound bridge that takes us from the death sentence of Adam to the life sentence of being in Christ. And that is Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." It was only the power of God that brought deliverance from the nature of sin and allowed us to be meet and to be qualified to be partakers of the nature of light. Thank God, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, through the giving of the life of the last Adam, as it talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, we can say, like Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Let's go on a little further. Praise the name of God. This is going to get a little deep tonight. So let's take a look at this. And I want you to see, it is very important for you to grasp this. There is a state of man in Adam, and then there is a state of man in Christ. I'm going to need a volunteer to get 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 16 through 23. Praise the name of God. So if you're going to volunteer, please put that in the chat so we'll see and everyone will see that we've got someone to read it. So in Adam, it is the death sentence. We are separated from God. It is the old man. This is reflective of the person who we were. We talk about this in the context of having been born again. And so let's understand, for the audience that are with us, that are spirit filled, we want to remind you of where you came from. Glory to God. We were sinners. We were lost. We were bound. We were in sin, born in it. We didn't have to fall in it. We were born in it. We didn't have to commit any sin. Lying, stealing, adultery, fornication, envy, jealousy, gossip, murder. We didn't have to commit anything. We were born into this. In Adam, we were dead. We were living on the basis of a sin nature. Thank you, Dr. Marbury, for volunteering to read. It was a sin nature that drove us. It was the only nature that we had. We were born in a fallen state as the progenitors of this degradation, the degeneration, the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. So God generated, man fell in rebellion to the word of God, degeneration. But even in the garden, God made a promise that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the seed of the serpent, but the seed of the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. And so we see here that there is going to be some bruising. And it was Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed. Isaiah prophesied it. And when Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins, he closed the door to sin for us. There's a way out. Oh my God, I feel it in my spirit. There's a way out of sin. There's a way out of that sin nature. There's a way out of being separated from God. There's a way out of coming out of that old man. And that way is Christ. Jesus opened the door to become new so that old things are passed away. And behold, all things are new. And in Christ, we have the new nature ruling on the inside. But that sin nature is still there. And that's why it's important for you to understand this lesson tonight, because there are two natures that are warring. The enemy is trying to pull us back into sin, because the devil knows that at the end of the day, God wins. And as long as we stay connected to God, in the Gospel of John chapter 15, it talks about the necessity of abiding as a branch in the vine. We are the branches and Jesus is the vine. And as long as we stay connected to the vine, we will live. If the branch is cut off from the vine, it dies. So hear me. When we come out of sin into salvation, we are coming into Christ, and we need to stay there. If we lose our connection with God, if we backslide, we die. We go back into the death sentence. And so to live is Christ. We want to stay in Christ, separated from the law, separated from the sin nature, separated from the world. What the law could not do, in that it was weak in the flesh, it gave us rules and regulations. It gave us a pure way to walk. But because of the sin nature, we fell back into it. As much as we tried to do the right thing without the power of the Holy Spirit that breaks the chain of the nature of sin, we keep falling back into sin. And it's revolutionary to consider that the power of the Holy Spirit breaks the yoke of sin, but you've got to stay free. You've got to stay free. Let's read this. This separation from the things of the world must be maintained so that the life of Christ would rule in our lives. Let's read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 16 through 23. Dr. Marbury, please begin reading.
For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming.
Amen. Thank you so much for reading that, Dr. Marbury. So what's so powerful here, and this kind of harkens back to the previous slide that we had with the crucified Jesus in the middle, it's important to understand that this deliverance was made possible through Jesus dying and rising again. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that not only gives us hope for the future, but it gives us power for the present. We have hope for the future, but we have power in the present. The present power is the resurrection of Jesus. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then our entire system of belief, our entire body of faith would just be in vain. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone for the Christian faith. It is the cornerstone for everything that we believe. And if you take that out of the equation, all we have is religion. All we have is a system of rules, but nothing that can bring deliverance. It is the cross of Jesus Christ that brings deliverance to the sin sick and sin bound soul. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Absolutely. Because if this is the only time that we can say that we're going to enjoy anything, and at the end, when we die, if that's the end of it, then quite to the contrary, we should eat, drink, and be merry and go and do whatever we want to do, have as much fun as we want to, any way we want to, as long as we want to, with whomever we want to. But if there is a resurrection, there is another day coming. If there's a resurrection, there's a day of rejoicing. If there's a resurrection, there's a day of reward. If there's a resurrection, there is also a day of accountability. And so we must understand that we need to be born again. And not only do we need to be born again, we need to stay in Christ. And we were born in Adam. We were born into that state, born into the sin nature. When you are born again, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and go on and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus put it to Nicodemus this way in the Gospel of John chapter 3. You must be born again, born of the water and born of the Spirit. This is mandatory. This is not something that you can pick and choose. We don't have the prerogative of telling God how we want to do it, how we are going to be saved, how we're going to be a Christian. He's the one that calls the shots, and he's the one that sets the standard. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ came to show us how to live a life pleasing unto God. He modeled it for us in his walk, died on the cross for our sins, was buried and stayed in the tomb for 3 days. In the process of those 3 days, he descended into hell. The Bible says that he went and led captivity captives and then gave gifts unto men. He went into hell and snatched the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil. And when he rose up from the dead, the Bible declares that he said, all power is Hayaraboshanda. My God, I feel something on this line. He said, all power is in my hands. I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And so because Christ is risen from the dead, he is become a prototype or an example or a first fruits of them that rose from the dead or that will rise from the dead. The phraseology in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 says them that slept, praise the name of God. But it's speaking about those that will rise again. Verse 21, for since by man came death, death came by Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. It is profound. It is profound how that God used this example. Death came by man. Life came by man. It was not an angel that died for you. It was Jesus, fully man, yet fully God. It was Jesus that died for us. It wasn't a sacrifice of an animal. It was a sacrifice of the Son of God. He that knew no sin, the Bible says, he became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, going down a little deeper, verse 45, it says the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. When we read in the book of Genesis, when God made Adam, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the Bible says, and man became a living soul. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 tells us that the last Adam, and that's a term that's used to refer to Christ, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit or a life-giving spirit. So the first man, Adam, was just made alive. A living soul was able to produce natural life. The last man, Adam, as a quickening spirit, was able to produce everlasting life. Glory to God. And he that believeth in the Son will have this life. Oh, God, I'm getting a little excited here. Let me go on in this lesson. Let's dig a little deeper. There is a distinct difference between the life lived in the old man, under the old man, under Adam, the life of sin, versus the life lived in Christ with the nature of God, the Holy Spirit. This is very powerful. So I need some readers. I've got 8 verses on the screen, and I need 8 folks to volunteer. You can see the verses there. I'm going to read it for those that are not able to see or those that are listening to the recording. We've got 2 columns. On the first side is the scriptures that relate to Adam. And it's great that you can put, I will read, but I need you to put the verse that you're going to read. Thank you so much. The first column on the left says, in Adam, and the verses that are there, Romans chapter 7, verse 18, Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Amen. I got a couple people volunteer. I need a lot more. Come on through. That's the scripture list in Adam. Again, Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. And then you have on the right-hand side, the column that deals with scriptures that speak about our position in Christ, what it means to be in Christ, because there's a big difference. And the Bible makes it clear. In Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Bless your hearts. I need a lot more people to come on and read. I know that there's quite a bit of you on the line, and I need you all to help out and read tonight. I want you to engage in this lesson. It's good to hear the other voices on the line. Again, in Christ, we've got 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Let's go to Romans chapter 7, verse number 8. Okay. I think we've got Sandra. Go ahead, daughter.
Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not.
Okay. Hold on there. So the Apostle Paul is speaking to us here concerning the fact that the flesh may have good intentions, but it doesn't have power. The flesh may have good intentions to not sin, but the flesh has no power over sin, no power to resist sin. Let's be clear that a person without the Holy Spirit is not some helpless puppet on a string. There is a degree of moral fiber that's in every one of us because we were made in the image of God. Every person that is born into this world was made in the image of God. In the image of God created he man. That's what the scriptures say. And it's important for you to understand that everyone has the capacity to choose. If you did not have the capacity to choose, it would be unfair for you to face a penalty if you had no choice but to sin. But let's understand that without the power of the Holy Spirit, you may be able to establish resolutions. You may conquer failures from your past. You may go to school and earn your degree. But without the Holy Spirit, you cannot live sin-free. You cannot conquer the sin nature. And this is what is important to understand. We're dealing with a sin nature. And the only way to overcome it is by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Let's go on to Romans chapter 8. Son.
Romans chapter 8, verse 6 through 8 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. They that are the flesh cannot please God."
Thank you. The carnal mind, and there's a distinction that we're going to draw between the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man shortly. But the idea of the carnal mind is the mind, is the spirit-filled person being led and influenced by their old nature. That's what the scriptures mean by the carnal mind, because it's you don't, when you get the Holy Spirit, that sin nature, the grip is broken, but it's still present. You have to understand that if you continue to live the way you used to live, which you can do after you have the Holy Spirit is not a warden in a prison. You're not a prisoner in a jail, as it were. Although the Apostle Paul calls himself the prisoner of Christ, but that's a willful surrender to be a servant or a slave of Jesus Christ. And so, but you have to understand that this is a choice. When you are dealing with the two natures of the believer, the spirit-filled believer has a choice now. And Paul is saying, if you keep living like you're still in Adam, it's a death sentence. You're going back to the death sentence, because the carnal mind is completely anti-God. There is great hostility. The word enmity speaks of hostility. And so the carnal mind is in great hostility against God. It is rebellious. It is not obedient. It's doing its own thing, its own way, whatever it feels like it. It is not subject to the law of God, to the preaching of God's word, to the teaching of God's word, to spiritual leadership. It's a spirit of rebellion, and it cannot be subject. It's just not going to happen. And this is why, if you have people in the church that profess the Holy Spirit, but they're going about gossiping, they're going about lying, they're going about with envy in their heart, they're going around with the spirit of unforgiveness, they're going around sleeping with folks and fornication and adultery and carrying on like that. And some people say, well, how can you do that if you have the Holy Spirit? Well, they do it because they're living by their own mind. They're living by their own rules. They're living by their own desires. So then they that are in the flesh, you cannot please God. It's a death sentence. Adam is a death sentence. Jesus is the life sentence. Glory to God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Who's got that? Need a volunteer. All right, I'm going to read it in the interest of time. We got a reader?
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Thank you, Sister Denise. So again, a contrast is drawn. A distinction is made. The natural man. Now, the natural man speaks to the man before salvation, the man before Christ. So that's the man that's in sin, if you will. And the person that's in sin, that doesn't have the Holy Spirit, they can't accept the things of God when they are in rebellion against God. Now, of course, before we had the Holy Spirit, we were all lost in sin. Before we had the Holy Spirit, we were alienated from the commonwealth. We were strangers of the promise. We didn't have any rights in the kingdom of God. We were Gentiles, lost, and we had no way out. When God allowed the blessedness of his message to come to us, the gospel of Jesus Christ, our hearts were opened. We received the word of God, and in obedience, we submitted to it and all of what it required for us. And so it was our acceptance of it. But there are those who reject it and say there is no God. There are those who reject it and call Christianity the white man's religion. There are those that reject it and say that Jesus was a prophet, but that's all he was. He was just a good man. He was not God in the flesh. He is not the manifestation of God. He's not the Son of God. Some say at best he was another angel, just like Satan, just like Lucifer was. And so even there are those that contend that his resurrection was not a physical bodily resurrection. That when Jesus rose from the dead, when it talks about him coming back to life, that was his spirit rising and not his body, which is utter foolishness. Remember Thomas, when Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus came into the room without the doors being open in a glorified body and told Thomas that was doubting the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thomas said, if I don't touch him with my own hands and put my hand in the holes in his hands and push my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe it. And Jesus presented himself in a physical form. That wasn't a spirit. As a matter of fact, Jesus even asked him when he came to them the first time, he said, let me have something to eat. He didn't rise a spirit. He rose a physical glorified body. And so the natural man struggles with these things, especially when they're in rebellion. These things are foolishness unto him. It's foolish to follow a God you can't see. It's foolish to think that a dead man can come back to life. It's foolish to think that a man who was crucified and who was certified dead and who was embalmed and then placed into a tomb, left for 3 days, that somehow miraculously he came back to life. They fight it. They kick against it. They say it can't be. Well, when we look in the mirror, we see the evidence. Glory to God. Somebody need to put that down in your notes. When I look in the evidence, when I look in the mirror, I see the evidence of the resurrection. I wasn't there, but I have the evidence on the inside. Christ liveth on the inside. Let's go on Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. This Adam state is indeed a death sentence. It's a place of bondage, and it is not where you need to stay, even if that's where you are right now. Sister Tinley, please.
Ephesians 2 and 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation past in this picture, even as others.
Amen. Thank you so much. Was that sounding okay to everybody? It sounded a little strange to me. I don't know what no means. Was it sounding clear? Is that okay? So, Sister Timothy, would you please read that one more time? Thank you, Brother Paul. It wasn't. Okay, good. Sister Timothy, would you read that one more time?
Amen. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
Thank you so much. So what we see here again, you know, this is where we were. We were in Adam, and the Apostle Paul expresses this to the saints at Ephesus in his letter to the Ephesians. And he said, listen, all of us were there. All of us were in Adam in the past. we this is where we lived. Our when he uses the word conversation, he's talking about the lifestyle. So not necessarily what comes out in terms of words, but in terms of how we live. That's a word used to describe the lifestyle. So he said, we all had our lifestyle in the lust of our flesh, doing what we wanted to do, fulfilling our own desires, whatever came to mind, whatever we felt like doing. You remember the times that we grew up in an age where it says, if it feels good, do it. Well, that's where we were when we were outside of Christ, when we were in Adam. And by nature, we were the objects of the wrath of God. But it's when you accept what Christ has done, you come under favor and not under fire. My God, you come out from the fire of God in the state of rebellion and being by nature the children of wrath. When you accept what Christ has done and dying for your sins and following God's plan of salvation, you come out from the fire of his wrath into the blessed state of his favor. My God, do I have anybody that's living under his favor and not under his fire? Is there anyone that's living under his favor and not under his fire? This is the state in Adam. Let's go to the state in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Praise the name of God. We got some readers that are queued up. 2 Corinthians, I think Sister Claudia's got that.
All right, good night, girl. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here.
Amen. What translation is that, dear?
This is the, I'm doing it from my phone, so I believe it's.
No problem.
Yeah. A New International Version.
Okay. Okay. All right. So the NIV, the New International Version. Okay. And so it's clear that there is a difference. There's a before and after. There's a before and after. There's a before and after. And if you have been born again of the water and of the Spirit, I want you to declare, I'm living in the after. Put it in your notes. If you have not yet been born again and you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to put in your notes, I'm going for the after. I'm going for the after. There's a before and there's an after. In Christ, if any person is in Christ, black, white, rich, poor, educated, illiterate, doesn't matter. Any person be in Christ, they are a new creation or a new creature. Check it out. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Nothing is left the same. Hallelujah. And I want you to enjoy this statement. You're not left the same. And I want to encourage somebody that's on this line listening tonight. I'm speaking over your life right now that you will not leave here the way you came in Jesus' name. You're not going to leave here the way you came in Jesus' name. Somebody read Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I don't know if some MT's got it. Okay, great.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
My God, we're talking about before and after. In Christ, yes, Paul affirms for the believer, for all of us, that when Christ died on the cross, he took us with him. My God. Did he take you with him when he died on the cross? Did he take you with him? Somebody need to put that in your notes. He took me with him. He took me with him. Hallelujah. When Jesus went to the cross, he took me with him. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. So I'm not living on my own, because the me, the me, the sinful me was crucified. Now the real me, the born again me is living. But it's not me, it's Christ in me. I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 said, if we are in Christ, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, Christ is in us. He's in us and he's not in there just as an occupant. He's there as president. He's not just resident. He's there as Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody know that he's Lord? And will you just admit that right now, that Jesus is Lord of my life? The life that I now live in this body, in this fleshly body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So I'm not just coming to Jesus by faith. I'm living this life by faith. I don't just have faith to come and get saved. I have faith to stay saved. Because it's, again, it's not laws and regulations. It's a love affair. There's a love affair going on between me and Jesus. There's a love affair. There's a love thing. This is a love thing. If you don't understand the sacrifice that Christ has made for you, you don't understand love. You may say you love somebody, but you don't understand it. You may say that you're in love with somebody, but oh, no. Ain't nothing compares to the love that God has shown to us in Jesus Christ dying for your sins. He loves me. Glory to God. You need to square your shoulders and lift up your head and say, he loves me. He loves me. I'm not forsaken. I'm not abandoned. I may be going through, but I'm in love with him and he loves me back. Hallelujah. His love caused him to give everything he had. He loves me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave himself for me. I love how this verse provides such a powerful contrast and a dynamic. In the first 5 words, check this out. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And I want you to see the first 5 words and the last 5 words. The first 5 words and the last 5 words. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Okay, students, let's dig in. Estudiantes, the first 5 words are what? You can unmute. The first 5 words. I am crucified
with Christ.
And what's the last 5 words?
Gave himself for me.
So read it again, Paul.
I am crucified with Christ and gave himself for me.
Read it again.
I am crucified with Christ and gave himself for me.
Read it one more time.
I am crucified with Christ and gave himself for me.
I pray that you all are not just hearing this, but that in your spirit you are receiving this. In Christ, this is the power of agape. Agape is what drew us. With loving kindness have I drawn you. But it is this agape that anchors us in him. Romans chapter 8, what shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? This is power. The power of the believer is in the practical release and application of the love of God. It is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In Christ, there is change. There is a difference. And it's something that can only be fully comprehended by tasting of this for yourself. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Who's got that? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. I need a reader. I need a reader for 1 Peter.
I'm ready, sir.
Okay, go for it.
Being born again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's understand the power of God's word. It's not like any word on the planet. It's not like any word spoken, sung, written. It's not Shakespeare. It's not Einstein. It's not Immanuel Kant. It's not a philosopher. It's not a historian. It's not Nostradamus. This is the word of God. And you can live without even knowing who Nostradamus is, but you cannot live without God's word. You can live without having read a lick of Immanuel Kant, but you cannot live without God's word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God's word is a seed. And when that word is released in the atmosphere, it is a supernatural seed that's looking for good ground. It's looking for some heart to be receptive and open where the power of the seed can be released. God have mercy. You need to write down the power of the seed released. It doesn't do any good just being on the page. You got to let this seed penetrate. You've got to let this seed of the word of God come into your heart. Don't resist it. The day that you hear God's voice is God's word. The day you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Don't resist. My God, don't resist. Relax. Y'all, excuse me. I'm just getting a little excited on this. When you hear God's word, don't resist. Relax. Rest. Rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. His word is an incorruptible seed. When it is planted in your heart, when you receive it and accept it and allow yourself to be conformed by it, it produces a powerful change, salvation, deliverance, redemption, being born again. The new birth experience is not without a seed to bring life. The same way the natural life, the natural birth comes with an egg fertilized by a seed, it is the same thing that happens in the spirit. There is a seed that comes and it's looking for something to fertilize. It's looking for a heart that's ready to come alive. It's looking for you. My God. My God. God's word is looking for a soul who wants to live. And for those who have been born again, it is that same word that sustains us until the day Jesus comes again. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 4.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Thank you. Simon Peter is one of the original apostles, original disciples of Jesus Christ. And for those of you that know anything about Peter's life and Peter's story, Peter was kind of a rambunctious guy, kind of a know-it-all, had issues of prejudice and racism, and was quick to talk. he was quick to talk. When Jesus asked the disciples, you know, who do men say that I am? The disciples responded. And then when Jesus asked them, well, who do you say that I am? Peter jumped up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus made distinction to Peter, said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father has revealed this unto you. And thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter, or Petra, is a stone, like a little rock. But the rock that Christ was referring to in when he responded to Peter was himself. And so basically he said, Peter, you're a little stone, but upon the rock of what you just said, upon that confession, upon who you just identified, which is me, upon this rock, upon myself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This Peter, who had that great revelation, when Jesus talked about the fact that he was going to die and be crucified, Peter jumped up again, rambunctious Peter, jumped up, said, no way, no way, you are not going to die. We are not going to let you die. And Jesus turned to him and said, Satan, get thee behind me, for you consider and you are thinking about the things of man and not understanding the will of God. It was God's will for Jesus to die for us. And Peter, in his quick mouth, jumped up and said, no way, that's not going to happen. And you will remember Peter again. Jesus told the disciples that, you know, you all are going to betray me. Y'all are going to leave me. And Peter jumped up and said, even if I have to die with you, Jesus, I'm not going to betray you. And Jesus said, Peter, chill, man. Before the cock crows two times, that's the morning bell, you're going to deny me three times. And sure enough, it happened. And when Jesus was snatched up in the Garden of Gethsemane, taken from judgment hall to judgment hall, Peter was hanging out in the back, and he was just trying to see what was going on. He didn't want to really disclose who he was. And while he was around the fire, it was nighttime, because they got him in the garden, you'll remember. It was night because Judas gave Jesus the kiss. The kiss was the signal because it was nighttime. It was dark and it would be hard to know who Jesus really was. And so Judas's kiss was the signal of who Jesus was. And so when they followed Judas, Judas gave Jesus a kiss and Jesus saw right through it. He said, you know, betray the Son of Man with a kiss. And Judas knew he was done. But anyway, Peter was warming himself by the fire. It was late at night. It was kind of probably cold. People were around the fire said, I swear you were Jesus. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this guy. Somebody else came and said, oh, yeah, you're a Galilean. Your speech betrays you. And he started cursing. Peter started cursing to try to make them think that he wasn't who he really was. And he vehemently denied Jesus. And the third time he said it, as soon as he said it, the cock crew, Peter denied Jesus. But it's this same Peter. That was before Peter had the Holy Ghost. See, you do some crazy stuff when you don't have the Holy Ghost. But now Peter is saying, I got some good news to share with those of you who are standing in like precious faith with us. This faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Peter was a changed man. In Christ, you become a changed person. Peter is now talking strong, writing strong. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Peter knew what it was to fail and need the grace of God. Peter knew what it was to be tormented because of his personal failure and what it means to receive the peace of God that passes all understanding, that just blows your mind. He didn't just talk about grace and peace. He talked about it from an experiential standpoint. Grace is the unmerited favor of God bestowed upon undeserving mankind. If you look at grace, the word G-R-A-C-E, it forms an acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. And peace. Peace is that unshakable calm that despite what's going on around one, they are at a state of rest. So it is unmerited favor and an unshakable rest. Unmerited favor and an unshakable rest. Somebody needs to write that down in your notes. Unmerited favor, unshakable rest be multiplied to you through your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Peter is saying here that if you open your heart to learn of God, if you open your heart to hear the voice of the Lord, it will change you. It will woo you into his presence. Forgiveness is there. Healing is there. And on top of that, salvation full and free. Goes on in verse number 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. This is that power of the Holy Spirit. You are, in other words, there is no lack in God. When you are in Christ, there is nothing that you lack. You have access to all things that pertain unto life and godliness, not just life. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to kill, steal, destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly or to the fullest. He wants you to have the fullness of life through the fullness of God. I'm trying to calm down. I pray that you all are getting this, that you're being blessed. This knowledge will transform your life. He's called us unto glory and to virtue, not only to strength, but to integrity. God have mercy. He has called us to strength and integrity. This is why within the Holy Ghost, you can live right. Because he's called you to strength and integrity. This is what makes living holy possible no matter what. He says, whereby are given unto us by this salvation experience. Whew, this life, the life of God, the life in Christ Jesus. Whew, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, these exceeding great and precious promises, you would be partakers of the divine nature. Peter is writing to an audience of spirit-filled people, but he's reminding them how they got to where they are. It is because of the promises of God. It's profound that God has made promise to the Gentile, to those outside. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says he came unto his own, but his own received him not, but unto as many as would receive him. That's us. That's everybody that's not a Jew. Unto as many as would receive him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God, to be the children of God. He has made it possible. Christ has made it possible for Jew and Gentile. Gentile is just everybody that's not a Jew. Christ has made it possible for both Jew and Gentile to be made one. So it's not just a grand collection of all this diversity. He has made us one. He has taken our diversity and he has established a unity so that through the blood of Jesus, we are made one body. Oh, God, have mercy. I got to go on. I know this is a little late. Y'all forgive me. I want to share this with you. And he underscores all of this by saying that in the Holy Spirit, in Christ, we have escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. We have been born by an incorruptible seed and escaped the corruption that's in the world. He did it all for us. He did it all for us. And I'm going to respect your time, and I'm going to pump the brakes because we have our prayer intercessors to come up. But I want you to understand that with this two natures, you've got to learn how to yield yourself to Jesus. There are two natures which beat in my chest, one that I love and the other I hate, but the one that I feed will dominate. The one that I feed will dominate. You've got to understand about the salvation plan. It's not just about making life better on this planet. It's about making sure that you will be with God for eternity. And it's not an experience of a forced action. Jesus was not forced to go to the cross. He chose to go to the cross. And guess why? Because he saw you. You were on his mind when he died on the cross. Not with regret, not with sorrow, but with great expectation that one day you would hear the message of the gospel. One day you would hear how much he loved you, and that hearing that would bring change in your life. It would spark the faith to be free. And for those that have received the Holy Spirit already, it will fan the flames of Pentecostal fire to remind you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Tonight's lesson, the believer's two nature. We pause at this time to turn to the prayer leaders to take us before the throne of grace, interceding for our men, interceding for our women, interceding for our young people. I'm going to ask that the prayer leaders would come at this time and take us forward in prayer in the name of the Lord.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, we thank you right now, and we glorify your holy, righteous, and adorable name. We give you praise, honor, and glory tonight. Jesus, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And besides you, hallelujah, there is no other. We bow down before you right now, humbly. First and foremost, we ask you to forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for anything we've said, any filthy communication coming out of our mouth, any crude jokes, any filthy talk, for any thought that we entertained that was ungodly, for anything that we've done with our bodies that was ungodly. We ask you, Jesus, to wash us, purge us with the blood that you shed upon Calvary, that even though our sins may be as scarlet, because of your precious blood, it will make us our sins white as snow. Put in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. Lord, we need you right now. We need you, Lord. Like this one says, we need you right now. We lift our hands and we bow our knees and we worship at your throne, Lord, because we need you, Lord God, in every solitary area of our life. We can do nothing. We can do nothing. We can do nothing without you, Lord. Lord, we just praise you tonight. Hallelujah. For your goodness and for your mercy, Lord God. You tell us, Lord, that if we be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, all things, those old things, the things that we've done before, our past life, is gone away, but all things have become new. Lord, help our brethren right now, Lord God. Help our brethren right now, Lord God. There's some that have fallen by the wayside. There are some that even turned their back. There are some that are riding the fence. There are some that are not sure. There are some on the brink of giving up. There are some that may have even made up in their mind that I'm not doing this God thing anymore. But Lord, we know you're greater than all those issues and all those problems. And I ask you right now to prick the heart of every man that's going through something right now. Shake them up, Lord, like only you can, Lord. Let them know, Lord God, that no matter that they're going through, that their brethren around the world going through the same thing. But if they trust in you, Lord God, with all their heart, and lean not into their own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge you that you will direct that path. You will bring them back from the brink of destruction. You will restore them. You will renew them. You will clean their heart. You will straighten them up, Lord. And they can walk uprightly before you, Lord God. Our men need you tonight more than ever, Lord. We are in the last days where the man is under attack. The sanctity of the man is under attack. The manliness of the man is under attack. But Lord, we know you can do all things, but fail. We know you can make the crooked road straight. We know you can turn that heart around. So we trust you, Lord, tonight. We believe you tonight, Lord God. We lean on you tonight, Lord God. Oh, God, have mercy on us right now, Lord God. Lord God, have mercy on our souls right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Move in our lives like never before, Lord God. Heal us, Lord. Deliver us, Lord. Set us free, Lord God. We need you right now, Jesus. We can do nothing. We can do nothing. We can do nothing without you, Lord God. Lord, we cry out to you tonight, Lord God. We bow down before you right now, Lord God. And we say, forgive us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Do whatever you must, Lord God. Do whatever you have to do, Lord God. But have your way in our lives, Lord God. Have your way, have your way, have your way. because you are coming back for your church without spot or wrinkle, Lord. And Lord, we want to be caught up to meet you in the air where you crack the sky. But we can't if we have sin in our lives. We'll be right here, left to face the tribulation. And that will be a great and terrible day. Great for those who are cut up to meet you in the air. Terrible for those who are left behind to experience the hell that's about to be unleashed on this earth. But Lord, you've made a way. You have made a way, Lord. And that way is Jesus. That way is you. You are that narrow road. You know, you said the broad road leads to destruction. But we know the narrow road leads to you. So have mercy. Extend your hand of mercy tonight upon our lives, on the lives of the men, Lord God. We're trusting and believing for you for a miracle, Lord God. We're believing you tonight, Lord God, to bring them back from the brink of destruction, Lord. We glorify your name tonight, Lord. Lord, you are worthy to be praised, Lord God, from the rising of the sun, hallelujah, to the going down of the same. The name Jesus, hallelujah, that sweet, adorable name, Jesus. That name that's above every name, Jesus. And that name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is what even the devil, even Satan himself, at the end of it all, will have to bow down and say, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. We glorify you tonight, Lord God. We say thank you, Lord God, for hearing our prayer. We say thank you tonight for moving in the lives of the men. We say thank you, Lord God, because we are believing you for every victory report, Lord God. And we will have that report, Lord. Lord, we say thank you tonight, and we magnify your name, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised, hallelujah. You are so worthy to be praised, hallelujah. And we glorify your name tonight, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We need you right now, Lord God. We need you right now, Lord God. We need you right now. We cry out to you tonight. We need you right now. And Lord, we won't forget to give you, hallelujah, the glory, the honor, and the praise, because it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
The love of God, so rich and pure, so measureless and strong. Jesus, we give you honor, we give you praise, we give you glory. Lord, we lift up your name. We bow down before you, Jesus, in humble adoration. We worship at your footstool, my God. We humble ourselves under the mighty hands of you, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love toward the children of men. Oh God, knowing that when you were on the cross, we were on your mind. God, you think it on us, Lord. You love us with an everlasting love. Jesus, my God, no amount of words will be able to tell how thankful we are to you, God. It's more than tongue can tell. But Jesus, my God, just help us. That as long as you lend us breath, my God, we will give you the glory. We will give you the honor. We will give you the praise. We will appreciate you, my God, for the many things you have done for us, oh God. Lord, we humbly bow before your presence tonight. Lord Jesus, I just want to be a penitent before you. I bow with a repenting heart, Lord. If I've said a wrong word, if I've acted any wrong way, my God, if my behavior was not right, Lord God, I bow with a humble heart. I confess before you, Jesus. Lord, forgive. My God, for your word said, if we regard iniquity in our heart, God, you will not hear. And so, great God, as we hear your words, go forth tonight, Lord God, reminding us of your goodness, reminding us, oh God, what you mean to us, what you have done for us. Lord God, with thankful heart, oh God, we give you thanks for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for loving us as you have done, Lord, not because of any goodness we have done, not because we deserve it, Lord. Lord, it is your unmerited favor toward us, my God. And Lord Jesus, my God, we just want to continue to praise your name and to get to that place, Lord God, where we must be with you in right standing with you, God, in fellowship with you, my God, in a good relationship with our Lord and Savior. And as your word said, Lord, let the word of God dwell in us richly. My God, when we hear these words tonight, every woman on the line, my God, that it will rest in our heart, that it will take root in our heart. Oh God, that we will draw from that well that never shall run dry. Oh God, that our hearts will be encouraged and be strengthened tonight as we hear the teaching of your words, my God. Every woman on the line, Lord God, may be weak, Lord, may be discouraged, whatever is the state of mind right now, may be going through something right now, God, troubled, Lord God, fearful, Lord God, whatever the situation, Lord, oh God, help us remember that, God, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oh, God, help us to walk in the Spirit. My God, help us to live in the Spirit. Help us to be directed by your God. Help us not to walk in the flesh, Lord God, to fulfill the lust of the flesh, my God. Help us, dear God, to be strong in your Lord and in the power of your might. Oh, God, help us to put on the whole armor of God, so we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we'll be able to stand in the evil days. So that when our back is against the wall, my God, we know, God, that you are the only solution. We will lift up our eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh our help? Our help comes from no one else, Lord, but you. God, you are our very present help in time of trouble. Jesus, my God, you're never tired of hearing your children crying unto you, my God. And so we come to you, O Lamb of God, we come. Jesus, my God, remember every woman, Lord God, on the line tonight. Those that are not on the line, Lord, in their different places of abode. Oh, God, you know each and every one by name and nature. God, you know the number. God, you know where everyone lives. You know what is going on in every individual life, even now, God. But we pray your divine intervention. We seek your help. We seek your mercy. Oh, God, some may be halting between two opinions right now. My God, cannot be bothered. Oh, my God, give them a word, Lord God, even from the teaching tonight. Let it reach their heart wherever they are. God, give them a revelation. Hallelujah. God, give them their own vision, my God. Help them, Jesus, my God, to look away to you, my God. Help them not to focus on the condition around us, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus, we will be always having storm. My God, we will be always going through our valley at time. My God, it's not all the time we are on the mountaintop. But Jesus, my God, we have to learn hallelujah, to lean on you. We have to learn, hallelujah, to depend on you. We have to learn, Jesus, to trust you. Oh, God, we know that it's not an easy road, my God. And no one tell us that the road would be easy. But Jesus, my God, with you walking beside us, we can make it without retreat. We don't have to turn back. We don't have to look back. Oh, God, we don't have to lay down arms. Jesus, my God, we are on the last lap. And my God, the enemy is doubling up, my God. But Jesus, help us, oh, God, to realize, God, where we stand with you. My God, help us to realize, oh, God, that all we need is you. Jesus, help us to realize, oh, God, that the only friend we had that care enough, that understand enough, God, is you. You are a friend who cares and understand. God, you are our best friend. Jesus, my God, you are the lover of our soul. Jesus, my God, we love you tonight, God, because you love us first. Oh, God, we thank you, God, for the many things you have done in our life. And Jesus, my God, help us to keep our eyes on the prize. Jesus, knowing that it won't be long when we'll be leaving here. For your words tell us, Lord God, that the end of all things is at hand. And so, great God of heaven, we can't give up, no. We can't lay down arms, no. Oh, God, these are the days when we need to press, my God. Hallelujah, help us to press, my God. It's time of pressing, my God. Hallelujah, Jesus, my God. The crowd may be thick around us, like the woman with the issue of blood. My God, it may be a big crowd that we have to press through. Maybe, God, we are stampeded because of the crowd, Lord God, but help us to be determined, God. I must touch the hem of your garment, Jesus, because I know if I touch the hem of your garment, my life will be changed forever. Oh, my God, help my sisters, my God, everyone on the line this tonight, Lord, and each and every one, dear God, in their different place of abode. Father God, I lay us out before you. Jesus, we fall down prostrate at your feet. Hallelujah, Jesus, you are our only hope. My God, we can't leave you, God. Jesus, we have to cling close to you, Jesus, because there is better on before. Lord God, your word tells us that if it was in this life only, we have hope, we would be of men and women most miserable. But thank you, God, for the hope we have in you. Thank you, God, your promises are true. Thank you, God, you are the God whom you said you is. Lord God, and you will do exactly what you say you will do. Oh, my God, help us, Jesus. Help every woman to hold faith in you. Help every woman to be strong in you, God. Help every woman, Lord God, to keep our eyes on the prize, my God. Help us, oh, hallelujah, Jesus, to continue to worship in spirit and in truth. Help us, dear God, to continue living for you wherever we are, oh, God, that the world will see Christ in us and be led to glorify our Father which is in heaven. Oh, God, help us, dear God, not to be pretenders. Help us, oh God, not to play church. Help us, oh God, not to play around the salvation. Help us to live clean, my God. Help us to walk worthy, to stand fast. Lord Jesus, we need your help. We need your mercy. We need your grace. We need your leading. We need your direction. And God, help us, Father, to follow where you lead. Oh, God, hear and answer our humble prayer tonight. Oh, God, these are the desire of our heart, Lord God. We pray that you will have your own sweet divine way and let your will be done, I pray. Oh, my God, grant the desire of our heart, we pray. Take over, Jesus, and thank you, God, for your will be done. Bring out your purpose in our life. Help us to know that you have a plan and a purpose for every single woman, Lord. Jesus, you love every one of us with the same level of love. None is better off than the other. And Lord God, we must remember that we are all equal in your sight. Oh, God, and we thank you, God. We are so grateful to you. My God, as the psalmist David said, be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generation. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord, I thank you for the lesson tonight, Lord God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the word that was delivered, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for the visualization of the spirit man versus the carnal man, Lord God. I ask that your seed, Lord God, that it penetrates the young people, Lord God, the seed of the word, that it penetrates us, Lord God. Lord, let us put our pride aside and submit, Lord God, to your will and to your way, Lord God. Lord, we don't want to leave and be the same, Lord Jesus. We want to be transformed by your word, Lord God. Lord, we need your rest and we need your peace, Lord God. Lord, show us how to live the way that you want us to live, Lord God. Lord, with everything that's going on, Lord Jesus, the young people are going through so much, Lord Jesus. People don't understand the things that young people go through, Lord God. They think because that they're young, Lord Jesus, that they don't have any worries, Lord, but that's the furthest thing from the truth, Lord Jesus. I just ask, Lord, for every young person, Lord God, that's dealing with something that you sent a mentor their way, Lord God. Lord, that you, Lord God, sent a scripture their way, Lord God. Lord, that you show yourself in their life, Lord Jesus, God. Let them be an example, Lord God. Let even the smallest young person, Lord God, be an example of your grace and your mercy, Lord Jesus. Lord, young people are so powerful, Lord Jesus. They have so much potential, Lord God. They have so much in them, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask that you let them tap into what you put into them, Lord God. Let us tap into what you have put into us, Lord Jesus, so that we may be a benefit to your kingdom, Lord God. Lord, I just thank you for the determination of the young people, Lord God, for the fearlessness of the young people, Lord God. Lord, use us as only you can, Lord Jesus. Lord, give our parents and our leaders, Lord God, insight, Lord God, on how to connect with us. Lord, give us insight, Lord God, on how to connect with them, Lord God. Lord, this is all about you, Lord Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about anyone but you, Lord God. Let us remember that, Lord God. Let us stay. Lord, if we are not humble, let us become humble, Lord Jesus, and stay at your feet on our face, Lord God. Lord, we cannot live life without you, Lord God. I just thank you for these Tuesday nights, Lord God, where we can just tap into your word and be fed, Lord God. Let us young people, Lord God, not take advantage, Lord God, of the information that is being given to us, but let us learn how to apply it to our own lives, Lord God, whatever and whatever capacity it will fit, Lord God. Let us apply it. Let us take out the time to study your word, Lord God, not wanting a microwave experience, Lord God, but let us take out the time to slow cook, Lord God. Let us study your word, live in your word, Lord God, apply it to our life and be a light for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we thank you for your presence with us this night and for all that's been said and done, all that's been shared and felt, all that's been heard and received. We thank you for the seed. We thank you for the seed of your word that's penetrating hearts right now. We thank you for the power of your spirit that's changing hearts right now. We thank you that faith is on the line. We thank you, oh God, that everyone on this line would be encouraged and be strengthened in their faith. We thank you in advance that despite the trials that we face, we lift our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Truly, our help comes from the Lord, as much as in the army way days and in the times when people are facing challenges and struggles, when they feel that their help is coming, they'll use the phrase, the Calvary is coming. The Calvary is coming, and it gives them hope and strength. It helps them to stand and to endure. And so, Lord God, we thank you that the Calvary is not coming, but the Calvary is here. And it's not an army, but it's a man. It's not a group, but it's a one. one, and that one is Jesus. And Jesus is on this line right now, and Calvary is here. We thank you for what he's done for us. We thank you for what he's doing in us. We thank you for what he shall do through us. And we bless your name right now, from the fallen to the risen, from the broken to the healed, from the lost to the found, from the failure to the conqueror. Tonight, Lord God, we give you praise, because there is a before and there is an after. And we thank you that through Jesus Christ, you have called us by love. You have called us by name. You have called us, and you have made it possible that we can live in the after, and that is to live in Christ. And so, Lord, help us to remember what we've heard this night. Help us, Lord God, to apply to our lives and be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. We thank you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God.